The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You will know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, we return to John 14 and Jesus' farewell conversation with his disciples. We listen in as he prepares his disciples for his departure, for his death on the cross and his resurrection, and beyond that, as he prepares them for their future, for their purpose and ministry, their continued relationship with him. He's preparing us for all of that too. So today we hear our Lord talk about love, about the Holy Spirit, and about the amazing unity that abides between himself, his Father, the Holy Spirit, and also with us believers. First, it's all about love. Read through John, and you will hear the word love 57 times, including in perhaps the most beloved verse in all of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Our reading today begins with love, when Jesus declares that if his disciples love him, they will keep his commandments. It's really just one big commandment, as recorded in the chapter before, when Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In the chapter after that, just in case they didn't get it, Jesus will say it again. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." John circles around love, and then he comes back to it, then he repeats it, and then he nuances it over and over. So we really must be thinking about love when we read the Gospel of John. As we go about our days, can we please all be mindful of love? Can we look for the opportunities to love that Jesus puts in front of us? If we ignore this invitation to love, then we're missing out on the main thing that gives life its meaning and sometimes its sweetness. At the end of each day, we would do well to take a faithful inventory. Lord, when did I show love today? And Lord, help me see where I did not show love today. This little exercise is not about judgment, but about growing in awareness of our loving actions. Again, today's gospel is all about love. It's also all about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth." We learned some things about the Holy Spirit today. First, that this Holy Spirit looks like an advocate. Literally, that word means one who is called alongside us. Sometimes it's translated as helper, comforter, or counselor. God walks alongside us. Second, we learn that the Spirit looks like Jesus. The Spirit is another advocate because Jesus was the first advocate. The Spirit will abide with us just as Jesus, the Word made flesh, abides with us. Third, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. One scholar wrote this about the word truth. I thought it was fascinating. I hope you will think so too. He wrote, "The underlying word, which is translated into English as truth, is aletheia. In Greek, the initial letter A, the first letter of aletheia, is like our English un or not. So the meaning of the word that follows is not like starting with the letter A. So, for instance, unhappy means not happy. So aletheia means not aletheia. So what's this aletheia business? This is where I think it gets interesting. The Letha is the river in Greek mythology that the dead drank from in Hades in order to forget their past, the river of forgetfulness. So aletheia, truth, carries the sense of not forgetting, waking up, remembering, overcoming oblivion and stupor, being alive and vital, seeing what actually is. And later in this chapter, Jesus will say that the advocate will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The advocate, the Spirit of truth, will awaken us and help us remember who Jesus is and what he taught us. Spirit advocate, help us to be fully awake to you. That advocate, that Spirit of truth, was promised to the disciples by Jesus. And oh, how they needed that Spirit after Jesus was crucified. The Spirit enlivened them from broken, terrified people into bearers of good news and world changers. And this gift of the Spirit is not, of course, just for those first disciples, but for all those who would come later, including those of us gathered to worship here today, who have never seen Jesus as a human. We might wish sometimes that we could have met Jesus in his earthly life, but for John, we who believe in Jesus today are at no disadvantage to those first disciples. The same Spirit lives in us, advocates for us, enlivens us for our life and our ministry. We have talked about love and about the Spirit, and now a word about unity. Christians are, of course, familiar with the Trinity, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But one particularly beautiful feature of John's Gospel is what one scholar, Dr. Jamie Clark Soles, called not the Trinity, but the Quadrinity. She uses this term because in John, Jesus insists that the close relationship that exists between him, the Father, and the Spirit also includes us believers. Not that we're equal to God. We are very clear that God is God and we are not. But that we are pulled into God's own self by God's love. Just as John circles back to love language, he also circles around and repeats and nuances terms about being close, about unity, such as we are abiding in God and God is abiding in us. Being in God and God being in us, and oneness. I am in my Father, Jesus said, and you are in me, and I am in you. We as believers do not just try to imitate Jesus, we participate in his life. If we read ahead to verse 23, we'll find the Mount Everest of this passage where Jesus says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them, and we will make our home with them. God makes his home with us. When I was in college, I knew a student artist. He filled his page with all manner of teeming life, And as I looked at it, I realized that his pen had never left the page and that everything in the drawing was connected. If John were a visual artist, I think he would draw the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and believers like that, all connected, all one, all united with one another. God has made a home with us, here and now, in Plymouth, in St. Philip the Deacon, in you, in me. What really and ultimately matters, belonging to the God who loves us, is ours now. Not later, not after we die, but now, by God's grace. And so, what if, because God lives in us and we live in God, and because the Spirit has been given to us all for love, what if, at the end of each day, going back to that idea from earlier, what if, at the end of each day, we asked ourselves that holy question, not for judgment, but for awareness and growth. What if we asked, Lord, did I love today? And then listen with trust and openness, for surely the God who is at home with us will love us into greater love each day. In the name of Jesus, amen.